Could I welcome you along to our service this evening in Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church? Because of COVID, our service tonight is only online. We're also streaming tonight live on Facebook and also on YouTube. We had a hitch with YouTube this morning, but the service will be live there tonight as well. Just before we commence our service, could I just make a few announcements in regard to the incoming week? Please remember Tuesday evening is our prayer meeting and it will be online at 8 p.m. And after the Word of God, we would like to encourage you to set aside time to pray, even in your own home or with your family. Wednesday night at 7 p.m. is the B line for the boys and girls, and again, that is online. Services next Lord's Day will be at 11:30 a.m. and then at 7 p.m. In the morning service, we're continuing our study on the tabernacle, and we will be moving next Lord's Day morning into the holy place. There was three pieces of furniture there, and we'll be considering the table of showbread. Also during the week, we received a gift of £400 towards the work, and I would like to thank the giver very much for that generous gift. And we know that God is no man's debtor. We're going to commence our worship this evening by a solo, and it will be sung by Miss Joanna McCammon, and she's going to sing, "Alas, and Did My Saviour Bleed."
Melt my eyes to tears. cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Could I thank Joanna for that message and song to your hearts and for drawing us in those words to the cross. Let us just bow together in prayer. And could I encourage you at home even to take time to pray that we might know the Lord's help and that we might hear his voice speaking to our hearts this evening. Our Father in heaven, we thank you tonight that we have been drawn to Calvary's cross. We thank thee that there our Savior took our sin and he bled and died in our place so that we could be forgiven. And we thank you, Lord, for so great salvation. We rejoice that that moment we looked unto thee, we were not disappointed. We rejoice that our sins, which were many and more vile than we could ever know, were all washed away. And that we, in that moment, were accepted in the Beloved. We thank thee, Lord, that not only were our hearts changed, but we thank thee that our direction in life was changed. We thank thee that we're no longer in that broad road that leads to destruction, but in that narrow way that leads to heaven. We thank thee for this opportunity of gathering around thy word, of ministering from thy truth. And we thank you, Lord, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And our prayer would be that as thy word goes forth from this place, and Lord, we praise thee as it will go forth from many other places tonight, that faith would be born in individual hearts, that individuals, Lord, would turn from their sin and turn unto thee. We think tonight even of those who would normally sit in our services, not saved. Lord, we pray that this night that thou wouldst cause them to listen, and we pray that thy word would be effectual even unto them. So, Lord, be with us in this service this evening. We thank thee that we're not gathered around the words of some philosopher, but we're gathered around words of truth. And we pray that as we read them, that thou wouldst open them to us and that thou wouldst speak to and challenge our hearts afresh. We remember, Lord, tonight, those who are serving thee. We think even especially tonight again of those who are serving thee amongst the boys and girls, even under our own mission board. And we thank you, Lord, for their endeavors, for even the online ministry, the reaching into so many schools. We thank you, Lord, that this little land is privileged in many ways in that the Word of God is preached in many different forms. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless them in their ministry and give them many souls for their hire. We pray tonight, Lord, for this congregation. We thank you for them. And we pray for thy people to put your arms of love around them. Keep them safe in these days. And, Lord, we pray that you would encourage them. Now there is much to discourage, and we pray even as we're thinking this morning of the priest going into that holy place, lifting his eyes and seeing that curtain, and would have been reminded that thy wings were over him. Lord, help us to lift our eyes and to look even unto thee in these days. So, Lord, wait with us tonight. Warm our hearts and do us good. Bless tonight the preaching of the truth. For we pray in our Savior's wonderful, precious name. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the Gospel according to Luke and to the chapter 15. It's one of those more familiar portions of the Word of God. And in this portion, we have three parables. We have the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and of course, the lost son, the prodigal son, strayed from the father house into a far off land. And we're going to read from the beginning of the chapter, Luke chapter 15, and we read in verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. Let's just bow together briefly in prayer, asking the Lord for help and for the preparing of our hearts. Our gracious God, we thank you tonight for thy word. We thank thee it is old and yet ever new. We rejoice that the words that we have read are as relevant this Sabbath evening as they were when they were originally spoken. We pray, Lord, that even as we turn to this portion of thy word, that thou wouldst give us help from thyself. May we understand what it was that thou wast saying, even in this occasion. And we pray that thou wouldst take thy word, and Lord, that thou wouldst apply it by thy Spirit to individual hearts. We pray, Lord, as the sheep was found, the coin was found, as the son came back to the Father, oh, that souls tonight might be found and know thy love and grace even in their lives. To this end, I ask thee now for help, for I pray in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen. I want this evening to draw your attention to the first of those two parables which we read, Luke's Gospel, the chapter 15, and we read in that verse 4, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? In the opening words of this chapter, we find publicans and sinners coming to hear the Savior preach. He's seeking to grab and hold their attention. He began to speak to them in parables. Lifting up his voice, he told them of a certain sheep which had gone astray. At first glance, you might be tempted to think that this sheep dwelling in the wilderness, it was justified in straying. However, that would be to misunderstand the meaning of the word wilderness. Rather than referring to a rocky and desolate expanse of land, it merely signifies grass land. For example, Matthew, recounting the feeding of the 5,000, he tells us that it took place in a desolate place. And yet, when we come into John's Gospel, we are told there that there was much grass there. However, the sheep, tiring of his master's provision and imagining that far-off fields were much greener, she rebelled. Breaking through the barriers that the shepherd had set up, she went farther and farther and farther away, straying into distant land and having no sense of direction. She became hopelessly lost. Of course, the sheep of all creatures is perhaps the most dumb. A lost dog will eventually find its way home, but a lost sheep is unable to do so. It has no sense of direction. It was hopelessly lost, unable to find its way back to the shepherd's fold. And you see, being lost, your soul is not only defiled, but it is directionless. It can never find its own way back to God. Indeed, underline the words of verse 5. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And you notice here that it was not the sheep that found the shepherd, but rather it was the shepherd who found the sheep. And finding the sheep, he lifting it up, setting it upon his shoulders, he then carried it home. You see, left to yourself, you're not only defiled and defenseless and in danger, but you are desolate. You can never, in your own power or in your own understanding, ever make your way back to God. You are like a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat. And you may have more degrees in a thermometer, but when it comes to spiritual things, you are just like this dumb sheep. You can never find your own way back to God. You can never, save yourself. You can never bring yourself to heaven. I think the only thing that is worse than being lost is being lost and not knowing you are lost. And I wonder tonight as you listen in, do you realize tonight that you're lost, that your soul is tainted by sin, that you're on that broad road that leads to damnation? Do you recognize you are lost? Do you recognize this evening that you can't find your own way to heaven? You can't make matters right. You're by your own power before Almighty God. You're like this poor lost sheep. And I want tonight to draw your attention to the shepherd. I want you to notice firstly here the shepherd sorrowing. Of all creatures, the sheep is perhaps the most helpless, being unable to fend for herself. This shepherd, rather than enjoying the 99 sheep, he became deeply concerned over this one sheep. You notice here that his concern for that sheep was then deepened. It was deepened by her perverseness. The Lord said, verse 4, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness?" The loss of anything, no matter how trivial, brings a degree of loss. From the fact that the shepherd was unable to rest, but rising up, left the other 99, whom he also loved, his sense of loss must have been exceedingly great. So great that he left aside every thought concerning his own welfare. Going out into the driving winds and rain, he risked everything. On every side, there would have been wild and devouring animals and dangerous cliff tops. And the thought of this foolish sheep, the thought of this foolish sheep being destroyed, it pained his heart. It brought him much sorrow. It brought him much grief, a sense of great sorrow. And like this sheep, your willful straying into the wilderness of sin not only brings alarm, but it brings agony to the heart of the greater shepherd. It causes him great pain. Indeed, the Lord Jesus, approaching the city of Jerusalem for the last time, he was met by a great crowd cheering. However, looking beyond their cries of jubilation and beholding the wickedness and corruption of their hearts, we read in Luke 19:41, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, and beholding their sin and seeing the awful destruction that lay ahead for this city, the tears began to run down his cheeks. You see, sin not only stirs the heart of God, but it smites the heart of God. It brings great, unimaginable sorrow and pain. I remember many years ago sitting in a house, and in that house there was a young teenage girl, and rebelling against the rules of the house, she sneaked out one night after dark, and she ran away. She left no sign of where she was going. That mother's heart was broken. She sat by the fire, but her chair was turned away, looking out the window. The tears continually ran down her face. And what the passing of years could not do, that rebellious young girl did. Overnight, her rebellion turned her mother's hair gray. And your sin this evening may seem to you trivial, but it's like a knife in the heart of God. It brings him great pain. It brings him great sorrow and loss. I remember a number of years ago reading a sermon on that verse that we mentioned there in Luke chapter 19, and it bore the title, "The Day God Wept." And my God weeps over you this evening. Your sin stirs his heart. My seeing the judgment that lies ahead, he weeps over you this evening. Maybe you start sometimes think no one cares about you. But I want to tell you, God cares about you. And my friend, your rebellion, your straying, your destruction brings him great pain. It brings him great sorrow this evening. Now, his sorrow was deepened by her perverseness. More than that, it was deepened by her peril. Tiring of the fold and imagining that far-off fields were greener and more pleasant, we read in verse 4, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness?" Unlike the camel, the sheep is unable to smell the scent of water. Unlike the dove, she is unable to see food from afar. While the horse can kick and the dog can bite, the sheep is weak, and more than that, she is defenseless, unable to fight off the devouring attack of the lion or to defend herself against the bear. This sheep straying, it was now in great danger. It was in danger of being destroyed. And the shepherd, seeing that, his heart was greatly pained. And you see, having strayed from the fold of God, you are not only without provision, but you are in peril. Your soul is in danger of being destroyed. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, taking up his pen, writing unto the Romans, he said in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The word wages here is a military term signifying rations. In Roman times, the soldier was sometimes paid in food, and at other times he was paid in clothing, and sometimes he was paid in money. And taking up this familiar image, Paul reminded them that the payment for their sin would be singular. It would be eternal death, as it would be unjust for a general not to pay the soldiers who had stood by his side and fought with him in the battle. So he was saying that it would be unjust for God not to punish their sin, not to bring them down into eternal destruction. You see, sin pays dreadful wages. It brings physical, spiritual, and eternal death. Sometimes people trivializing sin, they say, "You might as well be hung for stealing a sheep as stealing a lamb. However, if I was to go through all who are listening and watching this evening and ask each of you what your wages were last week, I'm pretty sure that not two people would give me the same figure. You see, your wages depends upon the nature and upon the extent of your labor. And while all sin brings eternal death, yet the greater a man's sin, the greater a man's rebellion, a greater a man's privileges, the greater will be his destruction. And go on in your sin. And my, you're like this sheep straying, you're heading towards death, eternal destruction. Sometimes the sheep, of course, would not be aware of its danger. It would be grazing there on the hillside. The sun would be shining. It would feel that everything is well. But there in the hills, the wolf, the lion, the bear would have been lurking. It was in danger. And you may say, preacher, I don't feel tonight that I'm in danger of being lost. But because you don't feel you're in danger does not mean you're not in danger. The end of your sin is death. It's eternal death. I think it was also, his anxiety was increased by her preciousness. Missing her presence, we read verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? In breaking through the boundaries set by the shepherd, this sheep was rebelling. And yet, despite her ingratitude in leaving her owner's provision, he, leaving the comforts of his home, he sought after her. And when he finally found her, he held a great feast to celebrate her return. And from the fact that he was willing to leave the 99 sheep and to risk his own safety indicates that this one sheep was more precious to him than the 99. She was even more precious to him than his own safety and his own welfare. And you see, your soul tonight, although it is valueless, it is valuable. It's precious to the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, speaking to in John chapter 3 and verse 16, the writer records, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You see, so precious is your soul to God that in order to redeem you, that he gave not only his Son, but he gave his only Son, and more than that, he gave his sinless Son to be your ransom, to die in your place, and to save your soul. And although tonight there is no meritorious value in your soul, it is valuable to the Lord. It's more precious to him than the angels who never sinned. Sometimes people looking out and beholding natural disasters, they say, "Well, preacher, where is the love of God?" My friend, it's at Calvary. He so loved your rebellious soul, your sinful soul, that at Calvary he took your sin. He died in your place, and he rose that you could be saved. Oh, this evening, you're precious. So precious, he gave his Son to save your soul. You say, "Why would God be interested in saving me? Why would this shepherd be interested in saving the sheep?" It was because he loved it. Because he loved it. And my friend, he loves you this evening. And though you've rebelled, though you have ignored his calls in days gone by, yet tonight you're precious. Don't think tonight that no one loves you. My God loves fallen man. And if only you come to him, he will save you this evening. Oh, the shepherd, he sought the sheep. And my, it's rebellion broke his heart. But not only do we notice the shepherd sorrowing, but notice secondly here the shepherd seeking. The thought of this sheep perishing, stirring his heart. He rose up from the campfire, going out into the darkness and the coldness of the night. He sought after her. But you notice here his departure, becoming anxious. We read in verse 4, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness?" Over the years, much speculation has risen concerning the identity of these 99 sheep. While some believe they represented the Pharisees, others believe that they signify the redeemed who are in heaven. However, from the fact that we are told they needed no repentance and that their would be more joy in heaven over one sinner repenting than over the 99 who had never strayed, indicates that not only were these sheep sinless, but they in the past had brought some joy to the shepherd. Such a description not only excludes the redeemed because they have sinned, but the Pharisees, because they never on any occasion brought joy to the heart of the Savior. And as such, the 99 sheep, I believe here, represents the angels who never fail. And in seeking to save this sheep, he not only left the 99 or left the angels, but coming and finding the sheep, he lifted up the sheep. He lifted the sheep up in all its dirt, in all its filthiness, and he carried it upon his shoulders. He bore the sheep. And in leaving the realms of glory, Christ not only sought, but he bore his sheep upon his shoulders. He took their iniquity, and he made it his very own. In fact, the prophet said in Isaiah 53, verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." And in coming to the cross, Christ came not to condemn, but to carry your sin, and in carrying it, to bear it away. A number of years ago, 8-year-old Monica, falling into a pit, an older woman by the name of Mama Nejre climbed in to rescue her. However, she climbed down into the pit, she didn't notice there was a black mama snake. And the snake, reaching out, it bit her. And then turning, it bit the little girl. They rescued the two and brought them out. The old lady was taken home and left to die. The young girl was taken into the hospital. The next day, the missionary nurse explained to the little girl that the snake biting the older woman, it had expended all of its poison into her, so that when the snake bit her, there was no poison left. And my friend, that's what Christ did at Calvary. He took your sin. He bore all of its poison. He bore all of the wrath. He bore all of the judgment that was due to you. So that if only you come, if only you believe, if only you trust him, there will be no more wrath due for your sin. Oh, he has borne your guilt. He has borne your sin. He has borne your punishment so that you could be set free. Oh, what love, what wondrous love. My Christ died in your place that you could be forgiven. Not only do we notice here his departure, but surely we notice his determination. Look at verse 4. "Doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and goeth after that which is lost, until he find it." Beginning the search, no valley was too deep or too dangerous, and no mountain was too high. crossing the rugged hills, he continued to search day after day. Despite every discouragement, he continued night and day until he found it. And although she was far gone, this sheep was not too far gone. She was not too weak for him to find and rescue. And Christ, the Good Shepherd, is able to save unto the uttermost. None are too far from him, or none are too foul for him to save. Speaking from his own experience, the Apostle Paul, taking up his pen, he wrote those wonderful words. My 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And though he was the chief of sinners, and had on his hands the blood of Stephen and the blood of other martyrs, he was not too far away for the Good Shepherd. But the Good Shepherd, seeking them there on the road to Damascus, he found them and saved them. None are too far to be found. He seeks and is able to save the greatest of sinners. In an old cemetery in Olney, there stands a granite tombstone, and written on it are these words: John Newton, Clark, in brackets, pastor, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. No wonder Newton, taking up his pen, he wrote of amazing grace. You see, it doesn't matter tonight how far you have strayed. It doesn't matter tonight how long you have strayed. It doesn't matter tonight how far down you have gone. The Good Shepherd is beside you, and he's able to save you. He's able to redeem you. Oh, this evening, while the shepherd draws near, will you not open up your heart? Will you not invite him in to be your Lord and to be your Savior this evening? Also notice his definiteness. Verse 4, and go after that which was lost until he find it. And you notice here, this shepherd going out, he wasn't seeking just any sheep. He was seeking the sheep that was lost. And he didn't give up until he found it. You see, in seeking, Christ is definite. He is seeking a definite people with a definite purpose. Coming to the tomb in John chapter 11, the Lord Jesus lifting his voice, he did not cry, simply come forth. But he cried, Lazarus, come forth. He had come that day seeking one man. He had come that day seeking Lazarus, who was dead. And I say to you tonight that Christ has come. He has come with a definite purpose. He has come tonight with you on his heart, with you on his mind. He has come tonight to save you from your sin. And I wonder tonight, as the Good Shepherd draws alongside, my friend, will you turn to him? Will you seek him and know his forgiveness and his salvation even this evening? But I think in this little parable, we notice not only the shepherd sorrowing and the shepherd seeking, but we find then the shepherd securing, finding the sheep weary and torn. We find him lifting it up. Notice here his rejoicing over the sheep. Verse 5, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Despite the fact that this sheep had been straying and had brought him much pain, much sorrow, and much grief, there is now no animosity. Lifting it up and placing it upon his shoulders, he was filled with joy. He embraced this sheep with great joy. You see, as well as seeking and saving, Christ smiles upon the sinner. Reaching out, he lovingly, joyfully embraces them. Maybe you say tonight, preacher, if I come to Christ, would not my sin anger him? Yes. But my friend, your repentance would bring joy to his heart. And if only you come tonight repenting, acknowledging your sin, turning from your sin, looking only unto him, there will be no frown, but with joy he'll reach out and he'll embrace you and he'll lift you and he'll place you upon his shoulders. Oh, his rejoicing over the sheep. More than that, look at his rescuing of the sheep. And when he hath found it, verse 5, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. Lifting the sheep, he places it upon his shoulder. While the way home, no doubt, was dark and dangerous, and this poor sheep was exhausted, he lifted it and he carried it. And you see, Christ not only cleanses the sinner, but he carries the sinner, placing them upon his shoulders. He carries them home. Maybe you say, preacher, tonight I'd love to get saved. I'd love to know the forgiveness of sins, but I'm afraid I couldn't walk in the ways of God. My friend, he'll carry you. He'll carry you. He's the good shepherd. He will carry you. Then we notice finally his returning with the sheep. Verse 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Reaching down and seizing this sheep, he didn't let the sheep go until he was home. And in verse 7, you'll discover that home was heaven. You see, the Savior's grasp is eternal. Seizing the sinner, he only draws him to himself, but he brings him into heaven. Paul tells us those whom he justifies, he will also glorify. And maybe you say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. I'd love to know the forgiveness of God. I'd love to feel his loving embrace. But if I got saved, I couldn't keep it. I would fall. Yes, left to yourself you would. But my friend, he lifts his sheep and he carries them. And he carries them until he brings them to glory. And tonight, if only you trust Christ as your Savior, he will save you. And he'll not let you go until he brings you to heaven. You know, about 100 years ago, 100 years after the passing of the apostles, Caius Marius Victorius, an old pagan, was gloriously converted. Hearing of his conversion, he was so notorious that Psalms were sung in every church. The people running through the streets, they cried out, Caius Marius Victorius has become a Christian. What joy there was when this man got saved. And I tell you tonight, if only you were to come to Christ, yes, there'll be joy amongst the angels in glory, but there'll be joy amongst the people of God. My, nothing thrills the heart like hearing of the conversion of precious souls. Oh, this evening, yes, you have strayed. You have broken through the borders that God has laid down. You have gone your own way. You have done your own thing. You have strayed, and you have strayed farther than you ever intended. And you're in danger this evening, in eternal danger. But the Good Shepherd is seeking you. And as he comes, as he draws near, as he speaks to you, you say, preacher, how do I know that he's seeking me? My friend, the very fact that you're listening to this message is an indication that God is seeking you. He speaks through his word. Is your heart troubled? He's seeking you this evening. And as he draws nigh to you, will you not turn from your sin? And will you not invite him into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior. You see, tonight you're lost, but it doesn't need to end there. You can be found. The shepherd is seeking you. And I trust tonight you'll open up your heart and be found of him. May God take his word and may God apply it to each of our hearts. Let's just bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for thy love. We thank thee that thou art the seeking shepherd. And Lord, we pray that tonight as thou dost seek souls, that they would not harden their hearts, they would not turn away, but that this night that they might seek thee and find thee. We pray, Lord, tonight that there might be joy in the courts of heaven, joy amongst the people of God in hearing of souls trusting thee. Be with us, Lord, now in the closing moment of this service, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen.